experience. And over these past few weeks, we've learned several things. We've learned that a blessing involves loving and appropriate touch. We've learned that a blessing involves spoken words. We've learned that a blessing expresses high value. And a blessing pictures a special future. There's one more aspect of the blessing that I want to talk about this morning. And this is going to kind of bring it all full circle so that we can remember this is what it means when I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, am given the opportunity to bless someone. To bless the wife that I love, the husband that I cherish, to bless the children that the Lord has placed in my life, to bless the friends and the family gathered around me. That opportunity I am given to bless the people around me. And this is the final element of the biblical blessing. It is, and you make an active commitment. A blessing is not just what I say, it's what I do, and it's who I am. When you bring the blessing home, it's not just speaking words. It is a commitment that I will do everything possible to bring a blessing about. If I bless you, I'm going to do everything I can to make that blessing be fulfilled in your life. It means I don't just tell you something and then walk away. I am actively involved in making sure that the blessing comes about. I was thinking about that this week and thinking, so how do I demonstrate that? Where do I want to go in Scripture to talk about this idea of active commitment in blessing other people? And there's one place in the Bible where the power of the blessing is on full display. We read about it together a few moments ago. It's found in the 13th chapter of the book of John. Now, if you're familiar with that, that's the upper room discourse that begins, John 13 through 17. But there in chapter 13, Jesus finds that way to bring the blessing home in the lives of his disciples. It's their final evening together. They don't realize this yet, but Jesus knows. This is the last time that we will be together, just myself and my apostles. After this, he will begin the journey to the cross. And this is how the Bible describes that moment. It says, Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that phrase, don't you? He loved them to the end. Think about all that was going on in Jesus' mind that evening as he was preparing to fulfill the purpose for which he had come. He had to think about the suffering that was in store. He had to think about the sacrifice he was about to make. He even had in his mind the fact that this was a 3-day event and soon he would rise from the dead. And all of those things that were going on in his mind, it would be such a simple thing to allow those 12, those men who had been with him all of these years, to allow them to slip from his mind. But instead, what does the Bible say? It says, having loved them, he loved them to the end. He wanted to bless them to the very last moment that he could spend with them. It's why he planned this time together. It's why he made sure that room was a secret room. It's why he spent an entire evening investing himself one last time in these men he loved more than anybody else. He wanted to bring the blessing home. And he made sure the upper room would be the setting for an incredible experience of being blessed. They would never forget what happened that night. But not only did he bless those men, he produced a model for us in how we can bless the people we love the most, how we can bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and make that blessing stick. So this morning, I want to take a few moments, and as we walk through this experience, I want us to see what Jesus was doing and how we can mirror what he did in the lives of others. The first thing I see as I look at this passage is this. Jesus blessed his disciples with authority. John 13:3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God. In other words, Jesus knew who he was and what he was about. Jesus knew he was the Almighty's only begotten Son. Jesus understood everything had been placed into his hands. And so this one who was now about to bless his disciples had no doubt about his identity. He had no doubt about the fact that not only was he Jesus of Nazareth, he was the Messiah. He was the Christ of God. He was the one who held eternity in his hands. And this is the one who chose to bless his men. Several weeks ago, I told you one of the distinctives of a biblical blessing is that it had to be offered by someone who had the authority to bestow it. In other words, in the Bible, when one person blessed another person, that person always was lifted up a little bit higher. It might be a father speaking to a son, a grandfather speaking to his clan, a king speaking to his kingdom. But it would always be that one who had the authority to make the blessing stick. A blessing always flows from the greater to the lesser. And Jesus is the ultimate example of that principle. Jesus had all the authority in heaven and earth. Everything had been placed in his hands. He was there when the world was created. He will be there when the world is brought to its conclusion. And in the midst of it all, he holds everything in his hands. Every word the 12 ever heard him utter was the absolute truth from Almighty God. You remember his question they asked him one time? Have I been with you so long and you still don't recognize me? I am God. Incredible. Incredible. Jesus had the absolute authority to bless them in any way he chose. He could have chosen to give them great possessions. He could have endowed them with power. He could have given them authority over others. In fact, the Bible says as they entered the upper room, those are the very kinds of issues that the apostles were arguing with one another about. Who's the Lord's favorite? Who does he trust the most? Who deserves the highest position of authority when the Lord comes into his kingdom? Those are the things these men were worried about. The kinds of things that if we're not careful, we worry about way too much. What can I have? What can I do? Who can I boss around? How can I get the blessings that I want? They had no doubt how they wanted the Lord to bless them. But here's the thing. When we ask, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is the authority that I want you to give me. What we're really saying to the Lord is this. I want to show you how you can love me. Sometimes that's exactly what we do when we pray. We pray and we say to him, Lord, I want to show you what you ought to do. I want to show you what you ought to give me. I want to show you what prayers you ought to answer, and I want to show you how you ought to answer them. I want to show you. We have to remember that the substance of a blessing is determined by the one who bestows it and not the one who receives it. Too many times, when we begin to tell the Lord, this is what I want you to do for me, what we're really saying is, Lord, this is how I'm willing to settle for less. Lord, this is how I'm willing to settle for less. If you'll just give me stuff I can hold in my hands, that's all I really want. If you'll just give me a feeling that will make me tingle all inside, that's all I'm really looking for. If you'll just give me less, I'll be happy with that. At least for a little while. But that's not the way the Lord works. The way the Lord works is when he chooses to bless you, he chooses how he's going to bless you. And he really doesn't care what you think, and he doesn't really care what you want, and he really doesn't listen to the things that you're willing to settle for less over. Instead, he says, I will give you what you need more than anything in the world. I will bless you. And Jesus chose to bless them in a way they could never have imagined. Listen to what it says. It says, and he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. If he had asked any of those 12, how do you want me to bless you? Not one of them would have said, Lord, you see that basin over there? Lord, you see that towel? What I would love more than anything in the world would be for you to debase yourself. To kneel at my seat and wash my feet. Nobody would have thought of asking that from the Lord. But by doing that, he used every element of a blessing in a manner they would never forget. You see, the Bible says Jesus blessed his disciples with his unique touch. Quietly, purposefully, he moved from man to man. There would be moments in those next few minutes when every man present would know he was the center of the Lord's attention. As he knelt before each one, as he washed their feet and dried them again, every one of them understood in those moments there was nobody else in his mind. He never looked to the left and he never looked to the right. He looked right at the one that he was blessing. Only after the crucifixion would they realize how precious those moments were. In that last night, there were moments when I was the only one Jesus was touching. How does something like that compare to, Lord, give me more stuff. Lord, give me more power. Lord, give me more authority. He was doing more than that. He was giving each one of them himself. In a powerful and personal way. Not only that, but he was washing away the stains and the dirt that had accumulated throughout the day. His touch made each one of them clean. Think about that for a moment. They had entered the upper room and they had all pretended that their feet were already clean. After all, to confess that there's dirt and there's stains and there's filth on my feet and on the feet of the people around me meant I would be obligated somehow to do something about it. If I recognized it, then I would have to do something about it. And so they did what most of us do when we deal with sin in our own lives. We just kind of pretend it's not there. We just look around at other people and we all act as though everything's all right and nothing's wrong and all is okay with my life. And because of that, we pretend that the thing that most needs to be done away with just doesn't exist. Jesus acted in a way that washed it all away. See, here's what Jesus saw that nobody else saw. He did not see believers with dirty feet. He didn't focus on the filth that they allowed into their lives. You know what he saw? He saw people he loved that needed to be made clean again. And so he did what only he could do. He made them clean. None of them could believe what Jesus was doing. The master should never be the one to take on that kind of task. But Jesus didn't think of himself in that moment. He only thought of those who would never be clean without his touch. That's still the way he looks at people today. He doesn't look down on us and say, look at you, look at what you've done. I could never love someone like you. Look at you, look at the sins you've committed. I could never forgive those kinds of sins. Look at you and all of the flaws in your life. There's no way on earth that you could ever be precious to me. Instead, what he sees is people who are precious to him, but they need to be made clean and whole. And that's what Jesus did. Same is true today as that day. The Lord wants to touch you and through your life to touch those who live at your house. So if you want to bring a godly blessing home and you want to bring it home through touch, you ask yourself simply the question, how can I make a difference in Jesus' name in the lives of the people we love? How can I bring his presence into the lives of other people? And how can I do it in a way that is so personal and so real that they will know it wasn't just me, it was the Lord? Not only did Jesus bless them with his touch, but Jesus blessed his disciples with unforgettable words. You remember what happened when he got to Peter around the table. You've read that story before, more than likely. And the story is that Peter would not allow the Lord to touch him. Lord, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. I'm not going to allow you to degrade yourself in front of me. And the Lord said to him, you remember, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If you won't let me touch you, if you won't let me bless you, then there's no place for you in my kingdom. He was telling Peter that when a blessing is given, it must also be received. It's not just what the Lord offers to you, it's what you do with the offering of that blessing. Will you reject it or receive it? Will you tell the Lord, not right now? Or will you eagerly take what only he can give? What are you going to do when the Lord blesses you? It was so important that Peter listened and Peter obeyed. Otherwise, he would forfeit the blessing. So Peter allowed Jesus to wash his feet, but then he took it a little further. You remember that reaction? He said, well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and wash my hands as well. And Jesus responded by telling him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. Now, is Jesus saying to Peter, no, I've already checked you out. Your hands are pretty clean. You know, your face was washed this morning. You're okay. That's not at all what he's saying. Jesus wanted Peter to understand that when the Lord speaks, you can't take away from or add to what he says. Peter was saying to the Lord, essentially, if this is your plan for blessing, this is my plan for being blessed more. If this is what you've told me you want to do, I want you to do that, and then I want you to do something else as well. And Jesus needed to stop and say to Peter, listen, I'm blessing you, and because of that, you receive the blessing. Don't try to add anything to it. Don't try to take anything from it. Listen to me. And let me bless you according to my plan. That's still what God says to people today. Let me bless you according to my plan. You know, I don't know how it is with you, but I bet you I don't go an entire day, very seldom do I go through an entire day without somebody trying to bless me. Does that happen to you? I check out at the grocery store, somebody says, have a blessed day. I sneeze, somebody says, bless you. I find myself along the way with people saying, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I bet that happens to you as well. But here's the thing. Those people who are speaking those words of blessing, they really don't have the authority to make anything happen. You know, I can't remember the last time that I walked out of a store where I just bought a new shirt. And that person that waited on me said, you have a blessed day. And I walked out thinking, well, that's it. Buddy, I've got the blessing. Nothing bad is going to happen to me today because I've got it. You know what I think about it? Nothing. I don't assume that my day is going to be any different because somebody said those words to me. Because they don't have the power to make their words stick. But Jesus does. That's why God's blessings come to us through His Word. You know, when Jesus said that to Peter, I think what He was saying was, you let my words be the words you need. God sends His blessings to us, and He sends them through His Word. And our job is to receive every message contained in Scripture. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, oh, well, I like what this psalm says, but I'm not so good with this one. I like what Jesus said in this gospel, but not so much in that one. We don't get to pick and choose. Instead, we receive God's words, and His words bless us. Nor do we get to believe that we have to add to our own opinions or the opinions of others to His Word to say, well, I know the Lord said this, but somebody else said that, and so I'm going to take the two and kind of blend them together. We don't have that option. We have to trust His Word. Over the past few weeks, our Future Vision Task Force has really been intense in looking at what we're doing. We've been looking at the values that guide us as a church. In a few weeks, they're going to be presenting those for our church to see and to join in approving of. And so we've looked at a lot of different areas of what makes us a church and what makes our church unique and what are the things that we need to embrace no matter what at our church. And along the way, one of the things we talked about was the Scriptures. What do we believe about the Scriptures? And how do they guide the values of our church? And when it came to our relationship with Scripture, one term resonated within that group. You know what it was? It was this: the Bible is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. There's nothing missing. There's nothing to be added. It is the sufficient Word of God. I think that's powerful. And what Jesus wanted Peter to understand is that He is sufficient. I don't need you to tell me what else to do. I am sufficient for every need of your life. We need Christ more than we need anything, but we don't need anything that can be added to Christ. And as you bless your family, one of the things you do is lead them to a rock-solid faith in what God and God alone says. Anything less will never be enough. Anything more will never stand the test. Then Jesus blessed them with a challenging future. When He had washed each man, He returned to His place at the table, and He looked around at them all, and He challenged them. And He said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. Jesus wanted them to know, and this is what the future is about. The future is about serving other people. The future is about taking everything I have done for you and doing it for somebody else. It is not that you take it and you hold it to yourself. You let the blessing flow. I guess what He was saying was this: you are blessed to be a blessing. No blessing is ever held on too tightly. Instead, you let your blessings flow out of your life and into the lives of others. How can I take the blessing home? Well, let me tell you simply. Never give up the chance to be a blessing according to God's guidance. To serve in Jesus' name. To speak in Jesus' name. To share in Jesus' name. All you have to do is give your life away and lead in Jesus' name. It sounds so simple, and yet so many times we forget how to be a blessing. But if you're going to bring the blessing home, you need to keep your basin and your towel very close by. You know, when you make being a blessing more important than receiving a blessing, then the Lord has a special future planned for you. This is what Jesus said to them, and if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, if you make it happen. The more you bless, the more you'll be blessed. In other words, in the economy of heaven, there will never be a shortage of blessings. There'll never be a time when God says, I've blessed you all I want to bless you. I've used you to bless as much as I want to use you. Instead, the blessings continue. Jesus said, blessed are you if you do them. As long as you are actively involved in receiving what God is giving you and passing it on into the lives of others, the blessings will never stop. This is what I would say. The future God has planned for you never has a supply chain problem. It continues and continues and continues to flow. Jesus wanted his disciples to know. He wants you to know. Blessing and being blessed is a normal part of following Jesus. It's what happens in the lives of the people who trust him. And it starts by surrendering to his touch. It may be that you're here today, and much like Peter, you have said to the Lord, not yet. Don't touch me yet. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You don't know Christ. You don't have him as a Savior. And you've said to him, I'll get to that one day, but not yet. Just hold back for a little while. But Jesus is saying to you, if you don't let me touch you, I can't change you. If you resist my cleansing touch, you're going to carry your sin with you. And maybe today is the day when you need to trust Jesus to touch you, to change you, and to cleanse you. In a moment, we're going to be singing a hymn of invitation. And if you're here and you want to become a Christian, I'll be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins will be here. All you have to do is come and say, today, I want to receive Christ as Lord. And we'll be glad to help you come to know Jesus. Or maybe part of his call on your life is that he wants you to be part of what he's doing at First Baptist Church. And he just wants you to receive that blessing by bringing your membership to this place. Or maybe there's something else he's talking to you about, an issue of surrender, and you just need to say, this is what God is saying to me. Pray with me as I make this commitment to him. Is there a decision you need to make? Let's stand. Let's sing.
Trust him in his presence.
Let me ask you to be seated again for just a moment. You know, in my message today, I said that sometimes God blesses us so that we can be a blessing, that we take our blessing and we pass it on. But I also said this, and sometimes it might not be exactly what we would like to happen, but it's exactly what God wants to happen. And we rejoice when God does what only God can do. And this morning is one of those times when we are going to be a blessing by passing our blessing on. And with that, I'm going to invite Dr. Hopkins and Suzanne, if you'll come over here and join him as he shares a special word with us as a church.
So that's how it works. You just let me.
That's exactly how it works.
Well, that was a powerful sermon for us, because this church has just been an incredible blessing to us, and you gave us a great challenge this morning. I think many of you already know that Suzanne and I are following a calling from Campbellsville University to go there to serve in the presidency role, and we are excited about that. Over the last many months now, we've been going back and forth, sneaking away to Kentucky, and folks have been filling in for us here. Thank you for that, by the way. And over that time, we have come to know their community and the people there in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And to be honest, we've just fallen in love with that community and those people. And we are excited about going there. We're a little bit terrified. It is a big operation, a really large university spread across so many different centers around the country, and soon even to be other countries. It's an incredible work that God is doing in that place, and we're thrilled about the Christ-centeredness of that campus and the leadership that's there, and how we see God working. We're not at all excited about digging up roots that we have grown here in this community for almost 16 years now. So that's going to be tough. There's just no way around that. It's going to be tough. But we love you. We are so thankful to you for how you've allowed us to serve in this church congregation for now 8 years, and for the way that you've loved on our family and grown our family, and in so many ways prepared us for the task that is ahead. We look forward to the fact that it's not time to go yet. I'm going to be here until the end of January. A little bit of going back and forth. I start there in Kentucky on February the 1st. And everybody will be happy to know that I'm not taking Suzanne and the boys with me just right away. They'll stay here through the spring semester. Joseph will be here at Samford, but then Vance will be here right on through the spring semester, and Suzanne. So they'll be with you, and I know that's really all you were worried about anyway. But again, the main thing to say today is just thank you for how you've blessed us. We have a lot of time to tell you stories about where we're going and what that'll be like. We have a lot of time to hug your neck and to thank you individually for what you mean to us. But this morning, just to let you know how grateful we are for the blessing that you've been to our family. So thank you.
8.5 years ago, Joe Hopkins came to this church to serve a 3-week interim stint. And he's been here ever since. And it is hard for us to imagine him not being with us, but we are thrilled that God has opened a very special door for he and for his family to take on the presidency of a university. And we have no doubt that he's going to do an outstanding job of leading there. we will have an opportunity to express as a church in a more formal way how much we love this family, and how much Joe and Suzanne and Joseph and Vance mean to us. But we also want to know that this is our opportunity either to grudgingly watch them leave or bless them and send them on to a very special opportunity. And that's what we want to do today. And we're going to do this in several ways. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you all to just be up in the lobby so folks can speak to you personally in just a moment. The second way is, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to join me in letting them know how much they mean to us personally and to our church, and how the Lord has used them in such powerful ways. And as we are recognizing them, knowing that the world is still kind of a different place, I'm going to invite our staff and some of our deacons, if you'll just kind of gather around up here, and we'll have a special prayer for them as well. So let me invite you to stand together. I can't take a vote on this because I know what the vote would be. And just join me in saying thank you to them as our deacons come. Chairman of Deacons is away this weekend at home in Florida. Brandon Williams is our vice chairman. Brandon, will you come and speak this prayer for them?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Hopkins family and for Joe and Suzanne and Vance and Joseph and what they've committed to our church for the past 8+ years. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on this family. As Joe takes this opportunity and they uproot their lives here and move up to Kentucky, Lord, we know that it's a special door that you've opened for them. And so we do, again, just ask that your hand be with them. Lord, we know that their relationship with you is strong and that you're going to be with them in everything that they do. And Lord, I especially, you know, pray selfishly for the relationship I have with Joseph and Vance and the blessings in their lives as they deal with this transition, Lord. And again, just we are so thankful for the service of Joe and Suzanne and what they've meant to our church and how special they've been and the many different things that have come from their leadership around our worship and other events and things that have been structured. So again, we are so grateful. We're so thankful for the opportunity that our church had to have them here and the blessings that they were to us and in each of our lives individually on how they touched us through their ministry. And just ask that, again, Lord, in everything they do, that they will continue to honor and glorify your name. Amen.
And I guess we should say, too, that as Dr. Hopkins was saying a while ago, Suzanne and Vance are going to be here till the end of the semester. Joseph's not going anywhere. He's going to be right here with us, and we're going to get a chance to continue to minister to him and bless him and be blessed by Joseph. And I'm excited about that. I don't know what our final song today is, but I imagine Nathan can lead it. Would that be right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rich, if you walk them out to the front, and in just a moment, you'll have a chance to go by and let them know how much you love them and how much they've blessed us. And then, as I said, we'll be letting you know in time forward as we plan a special reception in their honor. And the only other change that Joe would have me announce to you is from now on, you can only address him as Mr. President. So it's been a good day. God's going to bless us. He has a special plan. Let's pray, and then we'll sing that final song. Father, we do ask you to bless the Hopkins, Lord, as they leave us to bless another group of people. And Father, I don't think we need to say they leave us as we send them on to continue the blessing that they have been. Lord, we have no doubt that great things are ahead for Campbellsville University. And we thank you, Lord, that they will do it under the hand of a man who loves you and loves his people. Father, we pray that you continue to bless us, Lord, as we will move forward together as a church, discovering what your next plan is for worship leadership. And we thank you, Lord, as we have already experienced this morning, that there are so many gifted people that are a part of our music program, and that our worship is going to continue to be strong even after he's has left us. But Lord, we also thank you for the blessing of having them around for a couple of more months so that we can enjoy them and be blessed by them. Father, keep them in the palm of your hand and help us, Lord, to trust you in all that you do to bless your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm not about to try that. Evie, will you give me a G major chord and we'll sing the doxology together?